Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A lesson from that evening of Easter, John chapter 20, beginning with the 19th verse. On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together behind locked doors because of their fear of the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. Whenever you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of God. Dear friends, on her way out of the coffee shop, she ran into a friend that she hadn't seen in years. And it was very easy. They just picked up like they hadn't ever lost any time before, talking about family and things like that, and until it came to her chance to talk. Because when her friend said, "How's life?" her mind raced to think of a way to deflect the question. Because honestly, things were a mess. She was estranged from her husband. She worked a job that she hated, and her children, even though she had time with them, it didn't seem like quality time because they blamed her for the marriage problems. That made her life less than fulfilling. She was scared. She was angry. She felt trapped. It wasn't the life that she always imagined. It wasn't the life that she felt like she should have. She thought a lot about running away from it all, maybe starting over with a new situation, a new place, with a new job, and just a whole new life, just to really live it. And sometimes it's the idealism of youth. Sometimes it's a midlife crisis. Sometimes it's burnout from 40 years of working the same job and slugging it out day after day. But we all go through these cycles when we feel like it's really time to start living. For some people, it may be backpacking through Europe and just going traveling and just getting away. For others, it might be buying the expensive car and you can put the top down and everyone can see that nice German imported build. Maybe for still others, it's taking cruises around the world. But the thing with all of those options, these adventures, although people try to convince themselves that it's going to help them really live and really feel good, when they come back, they might realize that they've got the very same mess on their hands. And their whole escapade, their whole crisis, their whole situation may not have helped them at all. Their soul still feels empty, and they're still wondering what it's like to really live. Well, the Bible has something to say about really living, and it doesn't have anything to do with backpacking, BMWs, or the BMV, or any cruise. Christians need no midlife crisis or end-of-life burnout to trigger really living. Christians just need Easter. We need the shouts of joy, the triumph that Jesus lives, the empty tomb, the glee that comes from saying Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. They need Jesus' appearance to the disciples in the upper room, offering them his life-giving hands. For that's truly why Jesus came back from the dead, not just to keep life for himself, but to give life a life that's really worth living. If you think about the disciples in the upper room, they might as well have been coming out of a coffee shop, feeling trapped, feeling empty, feeling lonely. Because even though some of them had seen the empty tomb, they had heard the witness of the women, they were still hunkered down and they were still afraid. After all, those who had put their master, their teacher, on trial and convicted an innocent man to death in the worst possible way, the bloodiest of deaths, crucifixion, might be out there looking for those who followed him just to clean up the rest of the mess that Jesus Christ had caused by all his teaching of truth. But when Jesus showed up, they seemed genuinely shocked. They couldn't believe that it was their Lord and Master. But he was there to make them believe. He didn't lead with, "So how's life?" He led with, "Peace be with you." He said, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. He was there to say, "Guys, it's me. It's not a ghost. I'm really here. The tomb was empty for a reason. It's because I've laid down my life and I've taken it back up again. And I've done it with all kinds of purpose to show you that your Christ is risen. He's risen indeed." So today marks 3 days from Friday. It's Easter day. Jesus Christ is alive, just like it was on the very first Easter Sunday. It took them a moment, but the disciples could finally grab hold of meaning on that Easter. And the meaning sounded like this, verse 20. "The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." Not sinful fear. Not the feeling of trapped, "I got to get out of here." Not the world travels. But Jesus Christ was there with Easter joy to make life really worth living, to give them true joy, that all of the system of life, the structure that we're familiar with laws of physics and science and theories, and this is just the way the world is. Anyone who ever lives has to pay taxes and die. Those are for sure things in life. But Jesus blows that all wide open with a bigger promise. And if you take that promise to heart, by faith alone in that promise, it just blows the whole doors wide open, not only on this church and in the world of Christianity, but in your hearts and in the rest of your life to come. Because it settles your heart. It's what the ancient Greeks always talked about looking for, a peace of mind, a settled heart. I don't think we're too different from that ancient world. In our lonely world, maybe lonelier than ever before, we were already experiencing a mental health crisis before we had to lock down and turn the economy off and face this unknown, invisible enemy. There's still questions we don't have answers to. We're still hunkered down. We're still not sure what's appropriate. What is the new normal? But Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Jesus says, "Let your heart be settled. Because I've solved everything that's ever afflicted it. I've solved every sin that you've ever committed. I've died for all those sins. They were nailed with me on the tree. And now I live again to give you a hope and a future, to promise you something that is for sure in this life and in the life to come, and to give you guarantees that he's looking out for you. Even in the midst of trouble, he's protecting you and providing for you. His hand is still with you, and he'll never leave your side." Let that blow the doors open on your life and in your heart. And then use it. Because what did Jesus say? He said, "Peace be with you," after all this. He said, "Just as the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." The sacrifice for sins was done. The only thing that was left was to tell it abroad. So now Jesus was making his disciples, a word that means followers or learners, people who follow Jesus and learn from him, made them into apostles, a word that means ones sent out to carry the message out into the world, to tell them everything that Jesus had done to anyone who might possibly hear. No strings attached. A gift that's for free, for nothing. It costs Christ everything but you and me. It's simply resting in trust on all of his promises. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit enables the disciples at this moment to start to believe and to trust in what Jesus has done. And then 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came so powerfully on these disciples that they could preach to anyone who might hear at a very special day in Jerusalem. People from all over the world were there to listen. They said some cutting, biting things, and then some words of comfort and confidence and hope. And then on that day, 3,000 came to faith in a single day by the power of the gospel and the gospel alone, with the Holy Spirit underneath those words. And he even trained the apostles in what they should say. He said, "If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." It's a pretty big day when a parent hands a son or daughter keys to the house or keys to the car. It's pretty special. It's a pretty exciting thing. Now you get the use of the vehicle, or now there's another step in coming home and you're going to key in, and even though we're not going to be there, you're going to be there, and you're kind of like the man or the daughter of the house now, and that's a special time. This is Jesus giving the keys to the church. He's giving the church that special power and right to forgive one another's sins. That doesn't mean the power is in us. Jesus Christ created that forgiveness, but now he's giving us the power to communicate that forgiveness. But a key is only good if you put it to use, to forgive other people. I think Easter Day is an incredible time for us to take that to heart. What can be more meaningful than forgiving the spouse from whom you are estranged? What can be more useful than reconciling with a coworker or someone at school? What can be more useful than resolving differences with an old friend? By the power of Easter, you have an opportunity now to go out and do that, to forgive one another, to turn that key of that person's heart, and really to turn the key, the doorway into heaven by forgiving the sins and opening the path to eternity for that person, because forgiveness saves. So how are you? Are you stuck? Do you think you've got nothing left to live for? Maybe it's time we live a little less like Jesus is dead, like those disciples, and a lot more like Jesus is alive. Maybe it's time to start carrying this forgiveness out into the world. Time to start telling people what really matters in a hopeless world, a hope that is sure and gives us confidence. Maybe it's time to tell the gospel that's no longer a code of rules and laws like the old law, but that's freeing, that's good, and that opens up our hearts and sends our souls to the highest joys on a day like Easter when Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Because he lives, he makes life really worth living. In Jesus' name, amen.